Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 25 and also chapter 27. And it's Esau and Jacob, the beginning of Esau and Jacob, and perhaps to their splitting up as brothers, you might say. Thank you, Mark. And as Mark comes up, I just want to give you a view. Rebecca, Esau and Jacob's mother was barren. She had no children, and Isaac prayed, brought it before God, and God answered his prayer. But even while the two children were in the womb, the two boys struggled, and God, in verse 23, explained their fate. So please take notice. Thank you.
Genesis 25:19-34. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, and sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days were to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out, red all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear this to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And Genesis 27:35-38. And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. So here we see these two boys, the birth of these two boys, and as they grew up, the carelessness, perhaps you might say, of Esau, who was red-haired and was of Edom, which means red, and Jacob was of Israel. Esau was rugged and strong, a hunter. Jacob was softer, a plainer person. And Esau was loved by Isaac, and Jacob was loved by Rebekah. And then when it was time for Isaac in his old age before his death to give the blessing, Jacob had tricked Esau, and Esau had, of course, had given away his birthright, and so Jacob received the blessing that was due to Esau. But sadly here, what we learn here is that Esau thought nothing of his birthright being the firstborn, and he swaps his birthright for a stew. And then in the finish, Isaac was shocked at the deceit, but would not go back on his word, remembering the words of the Lord had spoken to Rebekah back in verse 23. And both Isaac and Esau were devastated, but it was too late. It was done. Much like our salvation today, it is not to be taken lightly or traded for an earthly gain. For to lose one's salvation is to spend eternity in hell. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. And here in this wonderful message this morning, we have the account of Esau. And we see in this account the carnal desires of the world has drawn this man away from God. This is a dire warning to each and every one of us today, for the world we live in today is drawing as many as possible away from God. The passage here before us says in verses 15 to 17, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. What a warning to each and every one of us, because can you imagine being locked out of heaven after learning of the glory of heaven? Yet there are many in this age who, like Israel, come out of Egypt but come short of the promised land. They have made a confession, yet they've come short of receiving God's grace. They've come short of receiving God's grace. I've got to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Verses 19 to 23. And here we have so many in the world today, so many who claim to be Christians today. When anyone hears the word, there's the sower and the seed. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet it has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when the tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. This is what happened to the Galatian church. Here we hear the message of a whole congregation of people in Galatians 3 verse 1, where Paul is writing back to these people and saying, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. In other words, you've failed. You fell short. Let us take note here and let us guard our minds here. And let's think about ourselves. What sins can rob me of God's grace? What sins can rob me of God's grace? In 15b of our reading this morning, we read where, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. A person with a different doctrine can influence others and lead them astray. Or a person can enter into the congregation whose interpretation of scripture and behaviour can lead others astray, perhaps led by worldly values or temporal things. And so much harm has been caused, and we can see it even today, by false teaching. And how many church leaders today teach and preach another gospel? Or things that can satisfy the flesh, giving way to sin rather than heeding God's word and learning from Christ. And in the letter of James, there we can read in chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Why is this written in the Bible? Why do we read this today? It's because we need to be warned. We need to be taking stock of ourselves, because it happens, and it's happening every day. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. It is easy, so easy, to slide downhill. And the hard work to climb the hill of faith again for man is almost impossible, except by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 16 this morning says in our reading, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. This was the sin of Esau. What is the sin before us today? You look in look up the word of fornicator in the dictionary. It's having sexual relations outside of marriage. Now, so many in this land are grappling with this today. We grapple with de facto relationships, same-sex relationships. The laws of the land are becoming further and further apart from the laws of God. In 1901, the Constitution said that asking for God's blessing upon this land. We're covered in drought at the moment. And there's so much dissension among peoples in cities and towns and across the land. And there's such a push to bring about changes in the laws of the land to satisfy the flesh. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. Now, a special sin is mentioned, and as a church, we must guard against it, especially with all who are in authority in the church. We don't hate people, we hate the sin. All people are welcome into the church to be able to come in and hear the word of God, that hearts may be changed. God has said in Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is God. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I have sent it. If God wants to his word to take root in our hearts, it will. And so we need people to come in to the churches to hear the word of God. Not false teaching, the pure, unadulterated word of God. And for each one of us, we have a testimony. For our testimony, our witness in following God is to be pure with a kind heart and not speaking evil of anyone. And this takes us back to the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. As a congregation making up the church today, in the love of God, we must do all that we can to help those that are caught up in sin. And we see this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, the Bible tells us, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What warnings! What warnings! 16b, referring back to verse 16 of our reading this morning from Hebrews, who for a morsel of food sold his birthright. Esau, for a morsel of food, in an act of sheer want for the moment, sold his birthright for a morsel of food. Faith enables the believer to see through the unseen, to see the things of God against the things of man. And this is brought out beautifully with Moses when he realized within Pharaoh's house that he belonged to the slaves. And then when God called him at the burning bush to go back and to lead his people free, he had to go back into the hostilities of Pharaoh and his household and his armies. He had to withstand everything that man could throw at him to be a man of God. Faith enables the believer to see the unseen, to see the things of God. And we today are given the vision of heaven. We can see, and it's established in our hearts, the cost that God was prepared to pay to bring us out of the slavery of sin into the light of the gospel, out of off the road that leads to hell to the road that leads to eternal life. He's given us eyes, spiritual eyes, to see into eternity, to see straight through the now, the here and now. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob sacrificed all for God to receive his blessing. But Esau lived in the present, and for momentary satisfaction, to satisfy his immediate hunger, he gave up his blessing for a pot of stew and lost his inheritance. So simple and yet so profound. And how many Esaus sit in church pews every Sunday worshipping God, claiming to be Christian, and yet underneath they're ruled by the world and they serve another god. And tragically, at the last day, before Almighty God, they may cry out in tears at the cost of their folly, but it'll be too late. the judgment is made, and hell is their end. Esau lived for the moment. He was hungry and he didn't care, but for his inheritance, and he lost it, and he separated himself from God. In Hebrews 2 verse 11 we see the contrast, because we read there, for both he who sanctifies, that's the Lord, and those who are being sanctified, that's man, are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren or brothers or fellow believers. We are called to run our Christian race to the finish for a reason. For if we give up and we run with the world with its daily pleasures and neglect and therefore neglect our inheritance, and then when it is too late, when our heart is cold and the power of the will and faith is lost, and if there by some miracle be any thought of something better is awakened, tragically it will be too late, because it is done. Many that day will want to enter in, but the master of the house will have shut the door. When Noah entered the ark, full of all those animals, and God shut the door behind him, he was in the ark for 7 days before it began to rain. Can you imagine how he felt? That'd be 7 long days. The smell of the animals and the feeding of the animals and all this work, and nothing has happened. But God had shut the door. And then the rain burst forth from the ground and from above. Can you imagine what it would be like for people trying to knock that door open and to get inside the ark and to be saved? But the door was firmly shut. What a solemn thought for a Christian. Because Jesus has shown us the path that we need to take. He knows that we have danger all around, and he supplies us with all that we need. And this is all within the pages of Scripture. But if we, like Esau, turn aside, then our daily needs, our daily food, may be our destruction. Eating a pot of stew cost Esau. Eating forbidden food in the Garden of Eden cost Adam and Eve and their seed the kingdom of God. And it was in refusing to eat, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, that Jesus won heaven back for the believer. Can you imagine Satan standing before him, turn those stones into bread? Jesus meekly turned back to Satan and said, man that will not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We're not in this world. We're in the heavenly world. Our spiritual eyes can see all the glories of heaven. But while we walk on this earth, we have a responsibility in bringing glory to God, to share our faith with another, that he might also escape the fiery end of hell. Let us take heed, lest we fall short. Let us also seek out others who are fainting, and count it our duty and our privilege to care for them, pointing them to Christ. I want to close this morning with a reading from Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. I want to begin at verse 17. But you, beloved, brothers, fellow believers, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.